07.
Welcome to Changes in Latitudes, a transgender experience. A 40-something genderqueer person shares their observations, life stories, and the adventures of their journey through transition and beyond. And now, here's your host, the creator of it all, Charlie Sabrina Miller. Hey, 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 hello, hello. Welcome back to episode 73 of Changes in Latitudes, a Transgender Experience. I am the host, Charlie Sabrina Miller, and we're about to get on a bumpy ride. Yeah. Oh, I love that band. That band, I swear, every time we get started here, they get my toes a-tapping, and I just feel the groove, and it's so good. I hope it influences you like that. This week, our guest band is Chalk and the Brooms. Something to do with my kid. Something happened, obviously, with Brooms and Chalk. And so I said, hey, that'll make a great band name. And that was like 6 months ago, and I don't even remember what the reference is. But that's where that came from. And as I say every episode, don't they get better every week? I swear they do. This week, as the title of the episode says, Valentine's Day. Gonna reflect a little bit about my thoughts on Valentine's Day. We have another famous woman sharing the best advice she's either given or received. This week we're on number 18. We're chugging right along. Of course, there's going to be a secondary topic because that's my style, and another version of the song Tenderly, as I said last week. And of course, we're going to have listener feedback because that's what I do around here. And I want to say welcome, new listeners. Welcome aboard this crazy train ride of a stream of consciousness podcast that I call Changes in Latitudes, a Transgender Experience. It's different is one of the things I can say. I put an outline together of whatever topics I want to talk about, and I hit the record button and go. So there's the show in a nutshell. And then I edit it, of course, you know, because that's me. And, well, you know, ask the longtime returning listeners or binge listeners or however you guys want to refer to yourselves as. Team Changes in Latitudes. Ask them. They know the style. They know what it's all about. And they keep coming back, and I love them for it. Thank you so much for downloading again, listening again. I really appreciate it. Hey, help the show. Take a moment. Go to iTunes or Stitcher or whatever podcatcher you're using. Give us a ratings and review. 5 stars on iTunes is what's preferred, but, you know, that's the highest it can go. So, of course, I'm going to ask for that. Rate the show. Review the show. Tell others what you think about the show. Tell me what you think about the show. It helps the show grow and get exposure. So take a moment, go do that. Now, before we dive into this episode, we're going to talk a little bit about last episode, number 72. I titled it Public Perception. You know, when I was recording, I don't know what the hell I was thinking, but during the editing process, I realized that, you know, we really don't need to let other people's perception of us form us. I mean, that's one of the big things out there. Be yourself. You know, that's part of the whole coming out process for those who have come out in any fashion, whatever that fashion may be for the individual. But yet, to fit in to our culture or even our own demographic group, we have to kind of bend a little and you know, compromise a little, I guess, to fit in. Unless there's a, you know, a group or a demographic or what have you where you fit in 100%, there's going to be a little bit of bending, even if it's just because you don't like that one person that also attends or is there. You know, your opinions with that person are different. They, you know, they're just opposite ends of everything. So you know, you might hold back certain things that you might say just because you don't want to get into it with that person that's on the opposite end. And they're probably doing the same damn thing. You know, it's that situation is what I'm talking about. That's part of having to bend a little to fit in, because there are, you know, things that you shouldn't say, things that you just don't want to say in public, all that stuff, you know. So it's a weird thing with public's perception. You know, we want to do our own thing. We want to walk to the beat of our own drum, but yet we want to fit in somewhere, wherever that somewhere is. And it seems that that's part of our journey, part of our, you know, destination that we're on, this crazy train ride of life. You can find that and all other past episodes at Changes in Latitudes podcast at blogspot.com. Of course, we're on iTunes and Stitcher. There's links for it there at Blogspot. There's an audience survey. Take a moment, fill out the audience survey. You'll see the links there. It's on the right-hand side, the bottom, and on every post. So you can't really miss it if you're looking for it. Facebook.com/Changes in Latitudes podcast. Check us out over there. Join in the fun. Join in the conversation. Email me at changesinlatitudespodcast@gmail.com. And for those who have been following for a long time, don't worry about this information. You're not going to need it. New listeners and listeners that just haven't followed me on Twitter yet, I changed the Twitter handle. So if you're like jumping around in the episodes and, you know, this is like the newest episode you're listening to, but you still got a bunch to go back and listen to me now, not in the past. Okay. New Twitter handle at CIL podcast, Changes in Latitudes podcast. If you've been following me for forever, you're not even going to know. It'll just happen automatically. Yay, automagically. And while you're out there on the internet, check out our Patreon page, patreon.com/changesinlatitudespodcast. Help out the show. Do what you can. It's a wonderful, wonderful way to give back. This episode is brought to us by all of my wonderful patrons, all six of you, seven if you include Tom Slayton from tomslayton.com. All of you are wonderful, wonderful people. And I'm letting you know right up front here in this episode, thank you. I love you all. All right, enough of this housekeeping, enough of this gushiness. Let's get into the main topic. All right, the main topic, Valentine's Day, as the title of the episode says. Today we're going to talk about Valentine's Day. And I don't mean the history of Valentine's. Anybody can Google that and look it up and figure it out and, you know, have fun with that. That's not what I'm talking about. No, I'm talking about my perception, my view of Valentine's Day. Now, when I was a kid, I liked it a lot because it was a guaranteed way to be accepted by every single person in the class. Because I'm back from the old school style where, you know, everybody brings a lunch bag and everybody brings Valentine's for everybody. And, you know, you write the name and then you put it in the bag and everybody has a good old time. And then you bring the bag home and you forget about it and your parents throw it away like a week later or a year later or whatever. Or maybe they hang on to it in a box of, you know, mementos or something. You know, whatever. Everybody's different. But I really enjoyed that because that was interaction with people in class that I normally wouldn't or didn't interact with because of whatever social circles were starting to develop at the time. You know, everybody hung out with their own little groups. It's part of school. So as a kid, and I mean elementary school kid, I loved that part. Then as we moved into, you know, junior high or what's now called middle school, you know, we stopped that stuff, and by then you were kind of like, you got a boyfriend-girlfriend sort of thing going on. Not always, but sometimes, you know. Or you were the type of person that made Valentine's for all your friends. You know, hey, here's the 10 friends that I'm friends with. Here's Valentine's for you. You know, and you give it to them privately, you know, during recess or after school or before school or whatever the case may be. You know, that sort of shit. And that was okay, but I had such a small circle of friends that we never did that. You know, and it's not like I had any sort of, you know, boyfriend, girlfriend thing going on. I mean, I got the occasional ones from the girls who did it for all the class, you know, and here's a one for everybody because that's what I do. Okay, thanks. Okay, fine. Cool. You know, and it's, you got a piece of candy or something. It's cool. It's usually how that worked out. But then as time moves on and really it becomes about whoever you're dating or whoever's, you know, quote unquote, special to you at that moment in time. And so, referring back to past relations, Valentine's Day has evolved so much over my life. In the public's perception and concept of it, but also how I look at it. I mean, I remember being in my late teens, early 20s, and the girl that I was seeing at the time, I mean, I remember wanting to, you know, wanted to do the typical thing, go out to dinner, get flowers and chocolates, you know, very typical, stereotypical almost. And I think it only ended up being flowers and a meal because either I couldn't find chocolates, didn't have time to get chocolates. She said not to, didn't want to take away the $25 or whatever it was, you know, leave that towards the meal. I don't remember what it was, but I didn't get any sort of sweet thing, just flowers and meal. And it was fun. It was cool. And that's kind of how it was, you know, up until my, you know, I will say my first real serious relationship that lasted 7.5 years. And that one, you know, you go through a number of Valentines when you're together that long. And in the beginning, it was cute. It was fun. You know, little sorts of reminders of I love you and, you know, those little fun things, cards and flowers and trinkets and knickknacks and such like that. And that was fun. And then, you know, as time moved on, it dwindled a little bit and it basically narrowed down to being just a card. you know, I mean, yes, the relationship was also dwindling away, so that could probably play factor into it. That's not while I'm talking about that. But I during that time is when I realized that, and for a fact, that Valentine's is just a marketing holiday to get people to buy stuff because they haven't been buying stuff, really buying stuff, since Christmas. The retailers had a dark January, so here they come. Let's sell this up in February. And so they do. You know, they kind of maybe get into the whole President's Day thing. Not really. Black History Month is February. So, you know, I see that around, but that's not really pushed. Not like Valentine's Day is pushed. You know, I mean, and other things that are out there. You know, so, but it's pushed. I mean, restaurants are offering special meals. There's special drinks at bars. There's, you know, special, you know, bottled cocktails that you can find at a beverage store, you know, adult beverage store. I mean, there is just a whole marketing thing to it. Chocolates and specialty flavors and, you know, certain, you know, pink, red, white designs that just say Valentine's Day, whether it's, you know, written on it or not. It just, oh, that's a Valentine's Day thing. Yeah, I see that. So it's a marketing thing because people haven't been purchasing since December. So they're hungry. They need food. They need money to get food, you know, just like we all do. And I think I realized that because I was working retail for a number of those Valentines. And it just was, I remember being, you know, okay, here's our Valentine's special. Great. So we have to push this thing or these items or this whatever, you know, for 3 weeks. Every person, every day, ask him about this Valentine's whatever. Okay, yeah, that's retail. That's part of the job. But without any real meaning, because, you know, what if the person you're saying, hey, would you like to buy our Valentine's blah, 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 it's only $39.95. What if that person listening to you is just not in a, let's just say, romantic place, okay? Their relationship is on the rocks, or it just ended, or it's a horrible divorce or separation or something, you know? So thinking about, you know, being together in the sense of love and admiration and fun, you know, and romance, that's the furthest thing from their mind, okay? And they're walking in just to buy your goods and services, whatever those may be. And here you are rubbing salt into a wound that, you know, is no fault of your own. You're doing your job. And this individual may or may not say something because they know that it's your job. And you just got to say, hey, would you like to try the Valentine's brownies or whatever? They know you got to say that. So they don't react to it. But there is always that case where that one person or three people or what have you may react to it. Oh, gee, thanks. I just received my divorce papers yesterday. You know, it's not a fun time for some people. So that was my thought process when I was working in retail. It's like, really? I need to say this to every single person, yet not every single person may want to jump on the Valentine's bandwagon for whatever reason. Okay. And so it made an awkward, you know, 3 weeks, because it's usually the end of January and the first 2 weeks of February that they're pushing the Valentine's thing. Sometimes they start right at the first of the year. But, you know, so you've got this going and going and going. So I think that's part of where my thought on this whole Valentine's thing comes from. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm a hopeless romantic. I enjoy the fun, romantic, gushy things. But I don't need one day to show it. I just don't. It doesn't, it's kind of ridiculous because everybody else is booked up. Everybody else is doing something on Valentine's Day, you know? So bed and breakfasts and other things are closed or full or whatever. I celebrate it at different times of the year. We don't need to have it on the 14th of February. That's how it happens for our calendar. And besides, it's like Christmas. You know, you're going to be good to your fellow man one day out of the year. You're going to be loving and romantic to your spouse or love interest or boyfriend, girlfriend, significant other, whatever label you choose to give them, only on one day. Every day is you know, wonderful. But let's be realistic. You know, everybody's got different days, so it can't always happen. But you don't need one special day. You don't. I mean, if you really want to think of one special day for that individual, their birthday. That's the day that's theirs. That day is theirs, hands down, no questions asked. Don't pass go. Don't collect $200. That's the answer right there. Their birthday. That's the day in the 365 that is theirs. Yes, they may share it with other people. Of course, they're going to share it with other people. But you know what I mean. That's theirs. Unless you're twins, I guess you got to share it there from the beginning, right? From the beginning, and you know the person you're sharing it with. But then you're sharing it with this person, so it's kind of cool. I don't know. I'm not a twin, so I can't answer that. Anyhow, that's the day you should really, if you want to choose one day to show them love and affection, choose their birthday. Doesn't have to be Valentine's Day. And so it was right around that time that I just started getting a little bad taste in my mouth about Valentine's Day because I started seeing it from the retail standpoint. You know, buy this, it'll make him happy. Buy this, it'll make her happy. Do this, it'll make you both happy. Share this, it'll make you happy. You know, whatever it is. You know, I mean, okay, I get it. I get it. There's love and sentiment in these phrases, words, whatever it is. Fine. But don't wait for only Valentine's Day. Do it the rest of the year. I mean, take advantage of deals on Valentine's. That's just a smart thing to do. You know, if you can get something for $30 that's normally $80, then do it. Whatever, you know, that's a deal. But don't wait for that one day. And so that takes me into the whole, not even a card exchange, because you're paying, what, $3, $4, $5, $6, $7, whatever it is, to, you know, to help fuel this Valentine's merchandise thing. So I know a card is like the easiest thing to do, and a card could be anything because cards don't necessarily have to be Valentine's cards. They can be the blank ones with pretty pictures on it, and you write in there, Happy Valentine's Day. I get that. But those are available all year long. I'm talking about the ones specifically made for Valentine's Day. Those we don't need to be buying into. Unless there's something cute, which I can understand that you want to have out in your home on a shelf somewhere because it's cute and you want to look at it all the time, then yeah, I get it. Buy it. Oh, this is cute. It's lovely Valentine's-esque, you know, decor. Fine. That's cool. But I don't think we need to go as hog wild as cultures makes me at least feel we should. But then that leads us into love songs. Love songs always seem to come around huge around Valentine's Day. Same thing with the Just Lost My Love songs, you know, those sorts of songs. That emotional pull on the heartstrings at both opposite ends, the gaining of love, the loss of love. You know, it's just there are songs that just play right into that. And I don't know about you folks, but I enjoy them all year long. It doesn't have to be Valentine's Day. Again, that's marketing to get people to, you know, think and feel romantic, mushy things. Same thing with movies. Same thing with movies or television shows that put out a, you know, a Valentine's motif special, whatever it may be, you know, just happens to be Valentine's Day. So they're, you know, the characters talk about Valentine's Day. Kind of like this episode, it's falling on the weekend of Valentine's Day. So I said, I'm going to talk about Valentine's Day. Just happens. That's all. Anyhow, We don't need to play into that whole marketing thing. I don't believe in that. I mean, it's fun. I mean, I guess if somebody's going to throw a Valentine's Day themed party, you know, all their coupled friends come over and, you know, they watch romantic movies or they barbecue or, you know, play certain games, board games. I mean, you know, okay, that's cool. That's a party with a theme. All right. Shit. Parties can have all sorts of themes. You can have a Valentine's themed party. What the fuck? Although I guess if Valentine's is, you know, associated with love, that might be just an interesting party that either people will either leave early or excuse themselves to private quarters. Either way, it's a party, and so there's going to be alcohol and everybody's going to have a good time. Or whatever floats your boat. So now you're probably wondering, well, what are you doing for Valentine's Day this year? In all honesty, not really anything. Not really anything. It's a weekend, so there's probably going to be some family, you know, event or something like that. Obviously, I'm recording it before Valentine's Day, so I can't say exactly what we did. But, you know, some family outing will probably happen that weekend. Who knows if there's going to be a meal involved? Who knows what we'll do? We'll probably talk about it as the time gets closer and then decide from there. But it's not going to be anything, you know, distinctly Valentine's Day that I know, because, well, for everything I just said, we don't take one day to show, you know, that love and affection and all that. We do what we can all the time when we can, sort of thing. So I'm curious. Write to me, changesinlatitudespodcast@gmail.com, or message me on the Facebook page, facebook.com/changesinlatitudespodcast, and let me know what your Valentine's Day consisted of, whether you're single, whether you're a couple, whether you're polyamorous, whatever your case may be. Let me know what your Valentine's was. I am curious what you, my listeners, did for Valentine's Day. And I'll keep it anonymous off the air. I'm not going to say anything, especially if you don't want me to. Just let me know in the email. And now let's hear from Tom Slayton.
When you need a professional who specializes in writing, photography, or web design, contact Tom Slayton. At Tom's website, tomslayton.com, you'll find brilliant WordPress themes, discounts and links for fantastic online services, and sage wisdom from the master himself, Tom Slayton. TomSlayton.com even features a wonderful eclectic collection of photographs seldom seen elsewhere. Visit TomSlayton.com. That's TomSlayton.com.
Tom Slayton, you know, folks, he is such a godsend for this show. Tom, thank you so very much for everything you do. This week I'm going to talk about, the link is TomSlayton.com/For Fear of Being Judged. It's like a journal entry. It's like a blog entry that Tom put out there. And it was just, I think I saw it on his Twitter, or I think I saw it on his page or Facebook. I don't really remember, but I pulled it up, and when I first read it, I said, oh, I want to share this on the show. And so I found it again, and now I'm going to share it on the show. I think it's very pertinent to, well, everyone's journey in life. And so he writes, I started keeping a journal around age 12, but since the start, I always self-centered myself, never being completely honest and leaving out any mention of emotions or what I was feeling. I noted only events, happenings, ideas, and plans for the future. Where I had been, what I had seen, heard, experienced, and where I dreamed of going next. I always focus on the past. What was, what could have been, what should have been. I have always terrified of someone reading my journal for fear of being judged. I never really opened up to anybody. I never told the entire story of my life to anyone, only a thumbnail view of how my life and feelings are. So much hidden behind blue eyes. So much of my existence consistently shrouded in mystery. The only person who really knows me for who I am is Angie. It is she who knows me and sees me. It is her who doesn't judge. Her who sees the painful secrets I keep hidden from everyone else. My writing journal has always taken a bird's-eye view of my life. From an early age, I would use my writing as a means of dealing with emotional upset, obsessively organizing and categorizing my pain. I constantly questioned everything through my writing, trying to sort through things to find meaning and sense behind every experience. though many experiences defied any sense or explanation. In my journals, I often ruminate over my unhappiness, going over the painful memories of childhood in a futile attempt at trying to re-examine and rewrite the past. Angie is the only person who ever read my journals from start to finish. I allowed her to read through them a few months after I asked her to marry me. I was anticipating her reaction to be one of rejection, or worse, an end to our relationship. But instead, she accepted what I had written in my journals as the past. In many ways, it made our relationship stronger. I knew I was able to tell her anything, no matter how intimate, and she would never judge it. I destroyed my journals in a large fire shortly thereafter. It was a cathartic experience knowing that, at least metaphorically, the past was behind me, and any documentation of those painful childhood events had been destroyed. In the past, I toyed with the idea of writing a tell-all memoir about my childhood, specifically naming, if not out flat out placing the blame on those responsible. But what would I get? Would I get revenge? Or would I simply educate those who read it that everyone goes through some sort of emotional trauma in their lives? And although you learn through mistakes, despite sincere apologies, revenge and retribution for what happened to us, as much as we try to forgive and forget, the past will never be undone. This post was inspired in part by a discussion I had recently about social situations where people aren't always whom they appear to be. Specifically, one who talks behind others' backs, yet is friendly to their face. Well, Tom, thank you so much for that wonderful journal entry that you shared with the world, but I'm able to share on my program here. Thank you so very much. What I liked about it is the troubled childhood that you had, whatever it may be, because you didn't lead into that, can be very reflective. And almost any trans person could put those exact same words in their own journal as a child. At least the handful of people that I've been around, spoken to, and heard their stories, or read their stories. It just seems to fit almost a trans narrative, you might say. And yet you're not trans at all. Far furthest from it, heterosexual, cis male. But yet you experienced a lot of the same things in different formats that a lot of trans people do. So you get us, and people like you who've had similar, you know, pasts get us. If you're not trans yourself, you get how troublesome it is, and how much you want to keep it to yourself. So again, thank you so much, Tom. And folks, show Tom some love. Go visit tomslayton.com. Look around, check out some things, and share it with the world. Five famous women share the best advice they've either given or received. This week, we're on number 18. Seven left after this, folks. We've got seven remaining. Now, this was originally shared on something called The Cut, which was part of AOL News. It was a link that I was given, and that's what it starts with. So I'm sure you could probably find it out there otherwise. But I'm not going to give the link. It's in the show notes over at Blogspot, because the link is just so fucking long. So many numbers and letters that don't make sense. No, not going to do that verbally over the show, because you'd have to write it down. You wouldn't remember it. So go check out Blogspot. You'll see it there. It's in the show notes. This week we have Dana Delaney. Now, I recognized her name. I knew she was some sort of performer, actress, person that I knew just by the name alone. I couldn't put a face to the name, and I couldn't place her in what I had seen her in. And so I went to trusty old IMDb, love IMDb for people like this, and checked out her profile. And at first I didn't quite recognize her. I mean, I recognized her voice from the Batman voiceover work she's done. She's Lois Lane. I recognized that. And Superman stuff, because she's Lois Lane. Lots of voiceover work that I recognized from, because it was from, you know, essentially my late childhood that I, you know, started seeing these shows that she was in. What I specifically remember from is China Beach, because that started right before I entered high school, and I just remember it being one of the big things talked about at high school. So that's where I recognized her from, but most of the other stuff I haven't recognized her from. And nonetheless, for our little thing here, she's an actress. She's got, you know, 90-some-odd credits to her name. Go check her out on IMDb. her quick little bio. Born on March 13th, 56, in New York City and raised in Stamford, Connecticut, Dana knew early in life that she wanted to be an actress. Following graduation from Weston University, this tall, 5'7", beauty moved to New York and developed her skills working in daytime television and theater. So she started in theater, she started in New York, came out to L.A., started being in TV, started being in movies. So there's, in a nutshell, Dana Delaney. Check it out. Go Google her. Per quote, trust your instincts, but the caveat is you don't usually know what those are until you're much older. Now, it's pretty cut and dry what that is. You know, trust your feelings, trust your gut, trust that little voice inside your head that says don't walk down that dark street at night. You know, it's that little voice of ours. Trust that. That's really what it says. But the problem is that usually doesn't get developed until you're a little older in life, have a little bit more life experience than you do as, say, a high schooler or younger. So, I mean, you develop instincts. So trust them as you get them is what it's saying. But the problem is all the problems and all the things that have caused you to develop those instincts have happened. And so now you've got to deal with, I don't want to say consequences, but, you know, the roll of the dice. So, yeah, it's pretty profound when you stop and really want to take it apart, you know, because you can say, well, if I knew this, I wouldn't have made that mistake earlier in life. Well, yeah, that's part of it, but you wouldn't know to not make that mistake because you made that mistake. You wouldn't know not to make it if you didn't make it. You made it, so you realized it was wrong. So now you know, don't make that sort of thing. As I said, we got seven left. So, if you've got a list or some idea that I can put in this section of the show, send it my way, changesinlatitudespodcast@gmail.com. Secondary topic. Here we go. Secondary topic. Now, in the secondary topic, I'm also looking for a new title for this section. So, longtime listeners or fresh listeners, listeners who are hearing this as of right now, I'm looking for something else to call this section. So, send it my way. Send it my way. I just gave out the email. You'll hear it again later in the show. I'm not going to say it again, but send it my way. So, secondary topic this week. I was out and about, and I came across this woman at the store, and she was tall, broad-shouldered, and we struck up a conversation based off of some food item. I don't remember what I was looking for. She was looking for something next to it in the aisle, and she said something, and I said something kind of witty or funny, and we started small-talking. It didn't last very long. It was just like, oh, yeah, yeah, you know, and small talk is so small that I don't quite really remember it. And the reason I don't remember it is because the entire time I was talking to her, I was looking at her thinking, are you trans? And that's only because, you know, I am and have had friends that are. But you can't walk up to them and say, are you trans? Because that's just rude, one. And it also outs them, and maybe they don't want to be outed in whatever environment you happen to be in. But she was tall. Voice wouldn't give her away at all. Larger hands. Couldn't really look for an Adam's apple, but I didn't really see one. Just her build, you know, football player, let's say. Not quite, but you get the image going in your head. Woman. And then I started thinking, well, why did I assume that this woman was a trans woman? And then I realized it's because I'm kind of walked in that life for a while. I've got friends that are. I got a show called Transgender Experience. Hey, you know, so I'm kind of close to the subject. But as I rethought that in exchange for over and over again in my mind before bringing it here on the show, I realized that could have just been a large, you know, took after dad sort of thing, you know, woman, period. I've seen tall, and she was tall. I'd say 6 foot, maybe pushing 6'1". I'm horrible at guessing height. So all I can say is taller than me, and I'm 5'9". So usually when I say taller than me, that puts them right up into the 6 foot range. 5'11 at the lowest, and probably 6'2 at the highest. And I don't remember, but I don't think she was wearing any sort of heels or lifts. But I've seen women built like that before. And I mean, in my youth, where, you know, the word transgender wasn't really used, wasn't really around. I sure as shit didn't know anything about it. Didn't even know anything about crossdressers at that time. And so then I started just going over and over in my mind. Wow, I couldn't tell if, I mean, I had an idea she was only because of my own personal path. But there's a really good shot she may not have been. And so then I started realizing how many different shapes and sizes, not just women, but people come. I mean, you know, you got the big, tall men, you know, broad shoulders, football player, men, you know. And then you've got, you know, people, you know, built like myself, 5'9", you know, 100, and I think last time I checked, I was 180. My target is like 170, 175, you know. Less, yes, but I don't really care. But, you know, there are women built just like me. I mean, naturally born women or trans women. I mean, you don't even want to label it that way. But what really got my mind rolling is, did I think she was trans just because of my own personal history with being transgender and knowing trans people? And I was dying to ask something, you know, trying to say, hey, you know, I'm trans myself, you know, or gender fluid, gender queer, whatever, you know, something, just to kind of open the conversation. And then I realized, no, that would sound stupid. I wouldn't want to open myself up like that to essentially a stranger. So I really felt like a rock in a hard place. I wanted to talk to her about this, but then I didn't want to insult her nor out her. So it was just a weird thing being out in public and coming across this individual. A lovely individual for the 3 minute exchange we had, or maybe five, I don't really remember now. And just wonderful person, good energy coming off of her. It was really nice, but I couldn't tell. But she definitely was on more of the mannish side, the broad shoulders, big, you know, barrel chest, tall, larger features, larger hands. I didn't stare at the feet, but larger feet, you know, so this is a larger built woman. And so that's where my mind went. And it just makes me wonder, you know, for all the women that are naturally born and are, you know, 6'2 and built like football players and all, you know, in that, you know, giving you a visual idea, you know, all those individuals, what was their childhood like? You know, because they experienced a lot of the same things. All the clothing that is made for people who are, you know, fucking toothpicks, whether they be, you know, male born or female born, doesn't matter. Right, I'm talking about female clothes. Shopping fucking sucks no matter what type of woman you are, no matter what, whether you're a cis or a trans woman. Shopping is a bitch because sizes are all over the fucking place depending on manufacturer. Different cuts drop and hang differently on you. A certain style works better than other styles. I mean, it's just, you know, you may think something looks really cute on the mannequin and you take it into the dressing room and you put it on and it fits and you're comfortable, but it doesn't look the way you thought it would. So everything's fine about it. You know, it fits fine. It's not tight. It's not too loose. You know, that sort of type of fitting thing, but it doesn't match the image in your head when you saw it on the mannequin. So you got to put it back. Shit like that. Well, those women that are, you know, larger born women, will say, they've been dealing with the same thing that we have as male-born women, you know, designated male at birth or assigned male at birth or whatever catchphrase you want to use right now. They've been dealing with the same thing. The only difference is they didn't have the whole gender identity thing to go with it, but they experienced the same fact that dresses don't hang the same on them. That clothing that, you know, may fit doesn't. Larger size shoes, larger size, well, everything, tights and underwear and bras and all this stuff, you know. all that larger size thing. So they're having the same struggle we're having, in the sense we're trying to find clothes that fit and complement our body type. So it doesn't really matter if a person's cis or trans or not, because we're all dealing with that awkward social interaction thing. You know, trying, again, that fits back into what I said earlier, fitting in. I mean, we all want to fit in, even if it's just in clothes that make us comfortable. You know, if you're not comfortable in your own, in your clothes, that just makes everything, you know, pain in the ass. So, it started my mind spinning in this tangent thing, really, about how, whether you're trans or not, if you just are given that, you know, barrel chest, broad shoulders, body type, just how much of a pain in the ass it is to go through life, regardless of any transgender issues or not. So there's another group that would feel our pain as far as trans women go. They would feel the same pain we do. It's clothes not being in the right size, shoes not being in the right size. The cut on one doesn't fit the cut on another. It just, crazy shit. Crazy, crazy shit. All right. Now, the second part of the secondary topic is following along what we had the last 2 weeks, which was different versions of the song Tenderly. Now, 2 weeks ago, I really went into the history of it. I don't have it in front of me right now, but it started as a standard back in the 50s, and so many artists have recorded it. I mean, the list is almost endless. If it's a big name, chances are they've recorded it. A big name in the last 50 years, we'll say, well, since it came out, chances are they recorded it. And different styles of it, too, which is why I'm bringing it to you. This week, we have an instrumental version done by Jackie Gleason and his orchestra. Now, if you don't know who Jackie Gleason is, take some time and edumacate yourselves, because go to YouTube, check out Jackie Gleason, his show, The Jackie Gleason Show. When you Google Jackie Gleason, the first thing that's probably going to come up is The Honeymooners, and that's because that's what he's most famous for. But what that started on was a sketch on his show, The Jackie Gleason Show. It was so much of a hit. The audience loved it, the reviews, whatever the thing was back at the time, because this was live television. It was so popular that they made a television show out of it. So The Honeymooners was born, and if you don't know The Honeymooners, wow, go back and check your history, your television history, because that one TV show has, well, changed the way situation comedies were at the time. It the type of show wouldn't fly today, just the style of the people and the way people are talking to one another. It wouldn't fly. But for the period, it was exactly what society needed. So as I said, The Honeymooners started on as a sketch on The Jackie Gleason Show, and it was a variety show. He would have dancers and singers, and there'd be sketches, and he would do characters. So, I mean, it was just a variety show back in the 50s, if I remember correctly. But the thing that a lot of people don't really know about Jackie Gleason, aside from his own shows and the fact that he was in so many movies, you know, old school people are going to remember Smokey and the Bandit. He was the Smokey. He was the cop. So, you know, I mean, that's one of the classics he was in. Number of just movies. Go Google him. Go IMDb him. Learn about him if you don't know him. Or refresh yourself if you do. But what a lot of people don't really know or remember is that he had his own orchestra. He wrote and conducted music. And it was so emotional and emotion-driven and just incredible that you'd almost forget that it was him, because he would be these characters and these types of, you know, laugh-a-minute people on his show. But yet he would turn around and come out with something so beautiful as this instrumental version of Tenderly. So that was Tenderly by the Jackie Gleason Orchestra. It's just so beautiful. I mean, the song is beautiful in and of itself, but so beautiful. And I'm playing that on this week because it's just talking about romantic music. To me, that just says romance and love all over it. Listener feedback. Here we go. Listener feedback. Yeah. Okay. Only got a little bit of listener feedback this week. This is from Christine Newman. I mentioned her last week. She was at Hey Writer Girl, GRRL, on Twitter. And she heard last week's episode and wrote to me. And I wrote her back. Christine, thank you so much. Thank you so, so very much. Not just for listening, but for sharing so much with me that you shared. It was amazing. All the stuff that you sent to me, and I still haven't had a chance to check the links yet, at least when I'm recording this. Hopefully by the time it drops, I will have. But folks, she sent so many links about so many different things that she's been part of. She is an advocate, true and true. And I would love to get her on the show as a guest. But check her Twitter out, at HeyWriterGirl, and girl is G-R-R-L. She posts stuff. There's a link to her website. Check it out. Find out who she is. She's such a wonderful individual. And she shared with me a little bit about her story, and that was she knew from a very young age that she was trans, but because she happens to be in my age range, age bracket, there was, you know, all the gatekeepers were in place at the time, so there wasn't, you know, not a lot of easiness for trans people to get what they needed. And so, you know, just kind of lived life and got through it. Then, by the time she was later in life, I don't want to give her age away, let her give her age away, she realized that, you know, she is a trans woman, and by then, all those gatekeepers were gone, and so now she's had a wonderful, I think, 3 or 4 years as Christine. And in that time, she has had so much positive response from her columns that she's written, from blogs that she's run. It's just so wonderful to know that she's out there sharing the show and liking the show. So Christine, thank you so much for your email. Thank you so much for those links. And get back to me. Let's figure out a time to get you on the show. And there's the closing music. Wow, we made it through to another episode. Hey, this is the end. We did it. Well, almost the end. I still got some stuff to say. Hey, thanks for sticking it out. Thanks for being here. Thanks to Tom Slayton for sponsoring the show. Thanks to all my patrons for helping out the show. You guys are wonderful. You ladies are wonderful. Thank you so, so very much. Thank you, new listeners who have stuck it out for their first show. You made it. Guess what? Every episode after this, you're a returning listener, and I love you for it. Returning listeners, it's great to see you at the end again. Thanks for being here. Next week, I'm going to title the episode Tolerance. And I'm just going to leave it right there till next week. I'm always looking for topics. I'm always looking for guests. Send them my way, changesinlatitudespodcast@gmail.com. Folks, be sure to help out the show by rating and reviewing us in iTunes, Stitcher, whatever podcatcher you use. And go to our Blogspot page, Changes in Latitudes Podcast, at blogspot.com, and use our Amazon affiliate link. Or drop us a donation at PayPal. And now, as Jimmy Buffett says, if I couldn't laugh, I just would go insane. If we couldn't laugh, we just would go insane. If we weren't all crazy, we would go insane. Stay crazy, everyone. Take care of yourselves. Take care of each other, and I'll see you next week. You've been listening to Changes in Latitudes, a transgender experience. I'd love to hear from you, so let me know what you think or what you'd like to hear about by emailing me at changesinlatitudespodcast@gmail.com. Or by leaving a comment on the Facebook page at facebook.com/changesinlatitudespodcast. or at the website, changesinlatitudespodcast.blogspot.com. Don't forget to subscribe in Stitcher, iTunes, or your favorite podcatcher, and please leave us reviews and star ratings. Now, wait for it. Here it comes. Disclaimer time!
Disclaimer time!
Disclaimer time!
Disclaimer time!
Disclaimer time! Disclaimer time! Disclaimer time! I am not a doctor nor a lawyer, and I certainly do not pretend to be one. I am a trans woman who began her transition later in life. I am here to discuss my life, so I take no responsibility for your decisions based on my personal thoughts and experiences. If you are thinking about transition or are questioning your gender identity, first, please know that you are not alone in your thoughts and questions. Second, please seek the advice of a qualified gender therapist or at the very least a local support group. If you're having difficulty finding a qualified professional in your area, I suggest reaching out to the closest LGBT center near you. And lastly, please remember, always question the source when researching information on the internet. All contents are distributed under a Creative Commons No Derivative License and may be shared freely in their entirety. Any alteration or less than complete reproduction requires permission from the host. Copyright 2016 by me, Charlie Sabrina Miller. Thanks for listening. Thank you for listening, and remember...